And so my first name is Kul. It's spelled K-U-L. I'm Kul. Heard all the jokes about Kul. And tell you a couple of testimonies just to start with before I share my testimony. Noel, our video man, said something about having gallstones in last year during the national conference, so that's why he couldn't come. Well, I was preaching in America, in Orlando, and I had some words of knowledge, which God usually gives me words of knowledge at the end of the talk or sometimes right during. And so I gave that word out, and it says that people had some gallstones. And so I prayed for it was a huge church, and so I prayed for all of them. The next morning I go to the equivalent of Kmart, what do you call that? Walmart in Orlando there. And the lady says, Pastor Kul, last night you prayed for me. I thought, hey, what did Jesus do? She says, here are my first two gallstones that came out last night. Hallelujah. And she showed them to me. I didn't touch them, of course. An amazing thing. My video man in Australia, usually I take him once or twice a year to some of the meetings. And as soon as that videos were the sermon was done, he went home, and I told him, I says, look, I'm going to America, please hurry with the videos, because I like them to take videos with me to America, because it's a different system that they have in New Zealand and Australia. And so he says, okay, rang him up the next day. That was on a Sunday, and I was leaving for America on Thursday. So I rang him up on Tuesday. He says, cool, I've got the world's biggest toothache. I really cannot do it in time. So I says, please, please do it for me. You know, my finances depend on it. Just joking. And so he went ahead to do it that afternoon. Now, he comes to this point in the video where he says, if a man just prays for you, nothing's going to happen. If I pray for you, nothing will happen. If you trust only me. But if you trust Jesus... Right now, if you trust Jesus right now, the miracle that you're wanting will happen straight away. And that's what he was editing that very moment when it was the biggest throbbing pain. So he put his hand, while I was speaking on the video, while he was editing it, he put his hand here, he says, I don't believe, but Kul believes. And Kul says, the miracle working God is here right now. I pray to this miracle-working God, and he got absolutely healed. Hallelujah! And the next day, when I went to pick up the videos, his wife testified. He said he was like a giant bear, as grumpy as a bear. Oh, come on, don't look so holy at me. Come on now. You know, and so he was completely healed. God touched him so powerfully. And all day I've been waiting on the Lord. And here's my feeling. That's what I feel that God says. Don't wait till the end for your miracle.
Amen.
Don't wait for the end for your miracle. Because you see, the presence of God, the miracle working God is here. Right now, and he can do that miracle. I was sharing with the boys a few days ago. Somebody took me out to a restaurant at lunchtime. So as he's a new Christian, so I went out to encourage him. And suddenly I'm speaking to the waitress and telling her what Jesus has done in my life. And so she asked for prayer, and we prayed for her, and she gave her heart to the Lord. That's good news. The other pastor with me, he shares with the other Chinese guy, and he gives his heart to the Lord. The Chinese guy says to him, the waiter says to him, I've been waiting for my visa, because he comes from China, he wants to stay in Australia. I've been waiting on my visa for 5 years. Every time I ring up the home office, they say, your file's not up yet, it's not completed yet, it's not to the top of the list yet. And so we prayed for him. That was on a Tuesday. On the Friday, my friend goes back there, and he's overjoyed. He says, my visa came through. Hallelujah. It's not a coincidence that when the presence of God, carried by you, carried by me, when the presence of God comes to a situation that needs help, that needs relieving that needs the power of God. It's not a coincidence that God sends you and sends me to the point of need. And even tonight, there's so many people with points of need. I've got needs. You've got needs. Hello? You're looking very holy tonight. We all have some point of need tonight. So don't wait until the end. Don't wait until the end. Right now, as you are listening to me, you can say, God, please touch that point. Touch this point. You can speak to him in your mind and God will answer because he's pleased with you. He's not a God of judgment. He's not a God of condemnation. He wants to help. He wants to intervene. You can put a smile on your face anytime you like. Hallelujah. So I'll tell you a little bit about my testimony. I was born in Malaysia, but my ancestors come from northern India. So my grandfather was born in northern India, and then he decided to come to Malaysia for work in those days. And so I happened to be born there. My full story is in the book, which I just got shipped to me a couple of days ago. So this is the first place I'm giving my book out, you know, So it's an absolutely amazing thing because my ancestors from India, born in Malaysia. Ah, thank you very much. I'll show you in a minute. Born in Malaysia, brought up in Scotland, living in Australia. Visiting New Zealand. Hallelujah. And in fact, last year when I was preaching in Belgium, they asked me, the Pentecostal churches there asked me, cool, will you represent the churches to the schools? I says, listen, this is an amazing coincidence. Ancestors from India, born in Malaysia, brought up in Scotland, living in Australia, representing the churches of Belgium to speak to the schools. Because the schools, they were going to another religion, to the mosque over there, and then they went to the Atheist Society, and then they went to another religion, and then finally I had them all to myself. Hallelujah. I wasn't allowed to preach Jesus to them, but I could speak about love. Valentine's Day today, happy Valentine's, hallelujah. I know you all love me, if you love me, smile. Oh, come on. You can smile better than that. So I spoke to them about love. I spoke to them about afterlife. I spoke to them about issues of romance. You know, young people at school, they want to hear something. They want to know actually what are the boundaries. They're not all bad. They're not all rebellious. Well, in front of the school, none of them gave their hearts to the Lord. But they all came to me after that. One Muslim girl gave their hearts to the Lord, but others wanted prayer. All five of the teachers stayed for the whole sessions and asked me all the questions. What a great opportunity we have to share the love of Jesus. So when I was in Malaysia, went up to Scotland to study. So I come out from an electronics engineering background. And so I graduated in Scotland and got married in Scotland, lived there for 20 years altogether. And then I felt that God spoke to me to come to Australia. But what happened in Scotland was this. When I was in Scotland, my wife is white Caucasian, born in Scotland, bred in Scotland. But we had identical twins who both died. This was about 28 years ago. Both of them died 1 day old and 2 days old. I got really angry with God. This is before I became a Christian. I got really angry with God. And I said to God, why did you kill my kids? And I was actually a very nasty guy, very controlling, very manipulative. And that's why later on when the a church in Malaysia wrote an article about me, they put it in a local paper. They called it From Rogue to Revivalist. You know, from rogue, a crook. And so I borrowed that topic to write my own book to tell my life story. When my kids died, I said, why did you kill these kids? And anyway, there was no reply. I said to my wife, whom I love so much, I've been married now for 35 years, I think, this year. I better not forget that date, especially on Valentine's Day. And I said to my wife, where is your God now? She had just become a Christian few months prior to that, while carrying the identical twins. And I said to her, where is your God now? The minister came to visit Elaine, my wife, at the hospital. He would come in the front door and I would go out the back door. Refused to speak to him because I was angry. Angry at God. Angry at people. Basically angry with myself. That was the main reason I was angry. I was really angry with myself, blaming myself for everything that's happened that's gone wrong in my life. When there was no answer, I thought, what shall I do? I went back to university to take a higher course in electronics. And my lecturer was a Christian. One day he came in. Just as I was going out, he comes in, starts speaking to me about a job with Shell. Shell is a very good company. Starts speaking to me about the Shell job, progressed the topic to other things. Then we spoke about afterlife. And he was a lecturer that I rang up the college when the twins died. I wanted 1 week of compassionate leave. And I rang up the college to say, please, can I get a week off? And he was the lecturer who answered the phone. There was nobody supposed to be there because it was some sort of a training kind of thing. Only the administrators were there. But suddenly, he was the one who answered the phone. He said to me, he said, from that day on, I started praying for you, me and my family. Few weeks after that, when I had gone back to college, I was crossing the field from the electrical building to the mechanical building, and he was walking on the other side. And God turned him around, and God says, see that guy? And I was with a group of people, and he says, see that guy? He said, what do you mean, that crook? That guy cool? He said, yeah, start praying for him. So he started praying for me more, and within a few weeks, I got saved. Somebody's looking for prayer. Somebody's looking for help, you know, in spite of all our issues. Well, when I gave my heart to the Lord that day with my lecturer, he says, why don't you give your commitment to the Lord? To me, the way I heard it was, why don't you go to church? And I said, okay, I'll go to church with you this Sunday. He said, it's nothing to do with church as such. It's a relationship with Jesus. I've never heard of that terminology before. I came out from a Hindu Sikh culture, you know, the ones with the turban. I came out with that culture. I don't understand this lingo of relationship with God. And so anyway, he prayed for me. I gave my heart to the Lord. And I felt three waves of energy just go through me. I didn't know it at that time, but now I know it's the anointing or the presence of the Lord. But at that time, I didn't know. I felt really good. I felt squeaky clean. After about 3 days, I went back to college, and my friends, I was leading this huge, this group anyway of people, and we used to do all the things, you know, the nightclubbing and all that stuff. And so they asked me, they said, cool, you're our leader. Why don't we do this and do that? And the pride started getting back into me. And for the next 15 months, called myself a Christian, but I didn't live like one. Did all my old tricks again. And then one day, as my wife was giving birth again, as the baby was coming out, 6 o'clock in the morning, the cord goes around the baby's neck. I thought, oh no, I hope this one doesn't die as well. Just like the identical twins had died 1.5 years prior to this. There was no doctors there that morning, only the matron of the nurse. She was in charge of that birth that day, 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning. As the baby comes out, cord goes around the baby's neck, and I thought, oh no, this one's going to die, because this baby starts turning blue. It means a lack of oxygen. My scientific mind says 3 minutes, 4 minutes at the most, out of oxygen, and this baby will die. I cry out to Jesus. I say, Jesus, I'm not a very good Christian, but please save this baby. I don't want this one to die, just like the identical twins had died 1.5 years before. Suddenly, Jesus appears to me about 10 feet away, twice this distance, and I see him as clearly as I see you. It's not a mirage. It's not a dream. It's not a vision. He comes to me just like you're sitting there. He comes to me live. For the first time in my life, I believe that he's the only way, the only truth, the only life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Prior to this, I thought Jesus was one of the many ways. There's this ism and that ism and this Hinduism and that Sikhism. They're all right. Everyone's going to the one God. That was my perception. But when Jesus stands in front of me, I knew that he's the only way, the only truth, the only life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I knew that he was the creator of heaven and earth and everything under the earth. My miracle is this, that I seen two girls standing on Jesus, one on each side. They were my identical twins who had grown up, and they were that size. They were physically that size. The kids died that small, 1 day old and 2 days old. And now they're standing beside this amazing guy called Jesus. And they're standing there with him. He had his arms around them. And Jesus speaks to me, and I hear him clearly with these ears. Just the same way that I saw him with these eyes, I hear him clearly. And he says, "Peace be with you. I am in control. I've always been in control of your life, and I always will be." Let me take you back to that situation. I'm holding my wife's hand. The cord is around the baby's neck. The baby's turning blue. Emergency alarm has been hit. Nurses are coming in and out, running in and out of that emergency situation. And I'm standing there, panicking, knowing that without any sort of intervention, this baby's going to die. And suddenly Jesus stands there and says, "Peace be with you. I am in control. Always have been and always will be." As soon as he finished saying those amazing words, without any medical intervention, the baby came out safe. Medical experts have told me, and some of you may be medical experts, it's virtually impossible. In fact, recently in Holland, I think it was Holland, one of those nations, a lady came to me and she said, "That's a real miracle." I said, "No, I know, I've been sharing it for 20 years. She says, "You don't understand. I'm an expert in this that medical field. When the cord is so tightly around that the baby has turned blue, you can't even cut it just in case you cut the sensitive skin of the kid, of the baby." I said, "Wow, this is a real thing. Thanks for confirming that it's an amazing miracle. But Jesus came to me at my point of need." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The very next day was the day of Pentecost, 1989, where I went to church in the morning. It was a traditional church. Everybody says, "Well done, cool." I thought, "What have I done?" You know, the labor pains, you know what? Man, you know what I mean? Come on, you know, the sweat, you know, the screaming. In the afternoon, I took part in a march across town. It was a march for Jesus to show the unity of the churches working together for public display of his splendor. I thought that was quite impressive. I can't repeat it. It was so good. Anyway, we took a part march right across town. And at the end, there was 400 people. And the guy was preaching, played his music. Not as good as Jeff. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a hand. And then somebody else came up to preach. And at the end of the preach, the guy said, "If anybody wants to give your hearts to the Lord, come forward now." And I looked around. Nobody moved. And I said to myself, "I don't need to give my heart to the Lord. I've already done it." While I was in class that time, about a year and 1 year, 3 months back, I says, "I know I'm not a very good Christian, but I prayed yesterday when I was in deep trouble or this child would have died. And when I prayed to Jesus, he came himself. He didn't send Michael the archangel. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send any other angel. He came himself. And I seen my twins, not that size, but this size, standing with Jesus. I know there's such a thing as an afterlife. I'm sure about that. I don't need to respond because I'm already fine. Jesus loves me, answers me." And then the guy says, "If anybody want to rededicate yourselves, come forward." Suddenly I start crying like a baby. I used to do all that martial arts thing, and I didn't used to cry. Bit of a pretending to be a macho man. You know, guys, you know what I mean? You ladies know what I mean, but this guy is all trying to... Anyway, And so I was right behind all 400 people, standing beside my minister, Church of Scotland minister, traditional church. And the guy says, if anybody want to rededicate yourself, come forward. Suddenly I felt like a hand behind me, pushing me forward. I went right to the front, and this guy says, all I remember was crying, touching everybody, excuse me, and trying to go forward. And I remember this guy right at front there, he says, what can I do for you? In the physical, I wanted to knock his... What can I do for you? Can't you see I'm crying? You know, those were the things going on in my mind. Something must be wrong if a man is crying. But instead, from my mouth came these words. I've been cheating on Christ for 15 months. I want to give my whole heart to the Lord. I want to live for Him and work for Him. And so he prayed for me, and I heard the words shooby shooby doo or scoopa scoopa doo. Anyway, he said words that I couldn't understand, and he prayed for me, and suddenly I just felt like some bubble burst, you know, something, some power, some agape love, some amazing love just came into my heart, and that bubble hasn't burst for 24 years. Hallelujah. Within 2 years, I gave up my job as an electronics engineer. I was a consultant, a lecturer, and an engineer at the same time. But the heart issues, I couldn't find the answer to life in electronics. Before that, I did want to be the richest engineer in Scotland. I was already generous at that time, and I wanted to operate with the things of pleasure and life and stuff like that, provide for my family, provide for my wife and my kids and stuff like that. But the issues of life touched my heart so powerfully, because the one who came to give the answer had touched me. And I said to my lecturer at that time, I said, you know what? I really want to give my heart to the Lord. I spoke that to my pastor, who was standing beside me, and later on to my lecturer. I said, I want to serve Him completely. It took 2 years to come out of electronics, but I started working as a youth worker first, and then a youth pastor later on, and then an assistant pastor. That process took about 7 years, and then one day I heard God speak to me to come to Australia. He spoke to me in a really funny way. Let me laugh first. He said, I was praying and fasting for a week, and he said to me, he says, you look like an Indian. Huh? Red Indian? What kind of Indian? You know what I mean? He says, you speak like an Indian, but you think like a Westerner. I can use you all over Asia, but your dwelling place must be Australia. I heard that sentences so clearly. And so we made arrangements. I thought, being a tremendous evangelist, everybody in Australia would love me. Not one did. I applied for many, many jobs in Australia from Scotland, and nobody gave me an offer. So I had a friend over here who was a pastor, and I wrote to him. He says, cool, you can have the best resume, you can have the best CV, but nobody trusts us paper. Hello? Nobody trusts us paper. They want to see how your heart operates under the anointing. So I came, he said, why don't you study at Bible college? Study for a year if you want. So when I applied to Bible college, I felt that I needed to do 2 years. The college felt I needed to do all 3 years. And so they says, we'll give you a visa for 3 years. You come and study the degree, because we feel that God is saying to you, study, do the degree program, the full program. So I came to do my degree over here. The church, the wonderful church over there in Scotland, gave me a golden handshake. Hallelujah. They gave me the handshake, but I'm still waiting for the goal. Church had started 30 people, and I worked very well with my pastor at that time, and it increased to about 250 people, 280 people over the 7 years kind of stuff. So all they said was, bye. Have you seen the Sound of Music? Goodbye, so long, farewell. And anyway, so I came to Australia living by faith. Had to study at the daytime, work as a cleaner in the afternoon, I worked in MCG, picking up papers, you know, Melbourne Cricket Ground, worked in factories as a cleaner. And then at night, I had to do my assignments. I would come back at midnight, try to do my assignments, and still go up to college every day, kind of stuff. At the weekends, I would have to minister because I wanted to build up my credibility, which is so important. People need to know my heart if I wanted to serve this amazing God. And so I did that for 3 years. One day before I graduated from Bible college with my degree, God gave me a job as a senior pastor. It was an amazing thing because I was 3 weeks late in applying for the job. I was the least Australian qualified, so to speak. I had the most tricky visa conditions because my visa conditions was as soon as I finished studying, I'm supposed to go back to Scotland. That was the visa conditions. And I signed it saying, I feel, this is before anything, I feel that God's called me to Australia, but I'll obey the laws and the government of Australia and all the rules, and I'll do whatever it takes to follow the rules, but I believe that God has called me to Australia. In a normal situation, they won't even give you a visa for that. I signed that paper twice, you know. And so anyway, one day before I graduated, got this job, worked in Heidelberg, which is the northern part of Melbourne, for 7 years. And then God spoke to me again. He said, now is your time to go to the nations, release the fire of God. So I've been doing that for about 7.5 years now. A few years ago, while I was ministering in Singapore, I think it's about 5 or 6 years ago, I was ministering in Singapore, and I heard God speak to me so clearly one more time. I used to do a lot of praying and fasting and stuff like that, and fasting doesn't do anything except tunes you into God. I mean, it's got many good things that happens, but because sometimes people might think, how come you hear from God so often? Is it like a radio you just turn on? Well, we have to tune in this radio, this receiver, to his voice box, so to speak. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so I heard God speak to me, and he says, many miracles are happening in your ministry. I said, thank you, God. It's all up to you. He says, you don't understand. You're stopping there. I thought, what? Stopping there? I said, what do you mean, Lord? He says, miracles, signs and wonders, healing will automatically happen when you preach the word of God. Your job is not miracles. Your job is not healing. Your job is not signs and wonders. You preach the word, it'll automatically happen. Your job, if you choose to accept it, Jim, Mission Impossible, your job is revival. I never heard that from anybody else. My job is revival. So along the way to revival, signs, wonders, miracles will happen automatically because God wants to revive our hearts. He wants to revive the passion that he died on the cross for you and for me. He wants to revive and input and induce, give us that same infection, the same disease. Hello? I've got to shock you with some of these words. I want the same infection of the passion for Christ. Amen. I want the same disease that Jesus had for the love of his people, that he chose to leave the majesty of heaven, come down to this depraved society called human beings because he loved us so much. What an amazing God. Can't get my mind around it. You can't get your mind around it. But you and I know this amazing God, there's no other competition. Not Buddha, not Allah, not this, not Krishna. None of them have even come near, even close to the reputation, the integrity, and the love of Jesus Christ. What an amazing God. Just a few weeks ago, 26th of January, it's Australia Day for us. And on a Saturday night, I went to preach in a Mauritian church, people from Mauritius, in part of Dandenong, which is the south of Melbourne. And 9 people got saved. I had preached there before, and they knew because of the joking and laughing and all that. You know, I say 1 or 2 jokes kind of thing. And if they don't laugh, they go and stand in the corner. I make them stand in the corner. So when I share my jokes with you, you know, you've got to laugh. If not... Anyway, 9 people gave their hearts to the Lord. I thought, oh, that's awesome, because people are looking for the answer. The next day, in a Filipino church, 3 people gave their hearts to the Lord, and they were all Iranians. In fact, the man, the wife, and his daughter, the man says, Pastor Kool, what does it mean when Jesus comes to you in your dreams? I said, say that again. He said, this man, dressed in white robe, and I know him to be Jesus. He's a Muslim man. I know him to be Jesus. He comes to me in my dreams. He doesn't say anything, just gestures. That's why they gave their hearts to the Lord. I was in Indonesia. This lady had just come in 2 weeks prior to that to this church, which is in a cheap, it's a poor place in that village. And she comes into there, and she gives her, after I gave the invitation that day, she gave her heart to the Lord. I said, how did it happen? What made you? Because she's a lifelong Muslim. And she said, I says, what happened to you? She says, this is what happened. A few weeks ago, 2 weeks prior to that visit of mine, she seen this man in a white robe, and he was gesturing at her, and he was pointing to the church. So she ignored it. The next day he came again, and he says, come, in Malay, mari sini, you know, come. And so she comes towards him. Before she can touch him, he disappears. She got pain all over her body. She's got, I don't know how much medication she takes, but she says it's a box worth altogether. She's got pain and pleurisy, which is a hole in the lungs kind of thing, and this and that, the next thing. She's a Muslim. She takes, because Jesus had gestured her, she takes a medication thing. And she's a poor lady in Indonesia. This is a lot of money's worth of medicine. She dumps it all. She says, I trust this man who's gesturing to me. I think his name is Jesus. I think his name is Jesus. Throws all the medication away. Comes that first Sunday. And then I come there the next week. And nobody speaks to her because she's sitting in the corner. Nobody even recognizes her kind of thing. The next week she comes, and when the invitation there, she gives out. And then she gives me her testimony. What an amazing thing that Jesus is doing all over the world, appearing to his people who are lost, who needs to be found. The word lost means wandering off from the original track. Wandering off from your destiny. Wandering off from Valentine's Day with the Lord. Wandering off with the love of your life in your heart. That's the word lost. And when Jesus came, he says, I come to seek and to find the lost. What an amazing Jesus we serve. Couple more testimonies. Hallelujah. Are you okay so far? Yes. Amen. Amen. This is what I just wrote down today. I want to tell you about this experience I had in just outside Toronto in Canada. So I'm there preaching for a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. And after one night of ministry, I'm really tired. It's something like March, and there's still that much of snow in March. March over there in Canada, that much of snow. You know, it's supposed to be springtime, but it's still really cold. So I minister, and you know, temperatures are easy, minus 10, minus 20 kind of thing when we're driving back at night. So I'm a bit hungry. And so I said to my friend, I says, let's go catch a pizza. So we go to the pizza shop, and it's absolutely empty. This is about midnight, absolutely empty. No. So I go in there, and I ask the man I gave him my order, and he calls his wife over, Lakshmi, which is an Indian name. Lakshmi, come over. She comes over to take the order, and she's walking like this. No exaggeration. She's dragging her feet like that. God doesn't speak to me. But I know what my gifting is. I know what my call is. I know what my purpose is. And so I try to order my pizza as soon as I can. There's nobody in the shop. And so I order my pizza. All the time, my heart's doing this. I go outside because I can't stand the voice of God being so loud while he's silent. I can't stand the voice of God calling. Will somebody do something about this situation? I don't hear him here. I hear him here. Because I know what my calling is. Midnight. Empty restaurant. Lady walking like that. Order my pizza, go outside the shop. I pretend to do some window shopping. Ask my friend, I said, what's this thing they're selling? He said, it's socks. Have you got no socks in Australia? I'm just trying to make conversation so that I can distract from the voice of God in my heart and in my mind. A pizza normally will take 12 and a half minutes to cook. This pizza takes 25 minutes. The conviction of God is so heavy. To my shame, I take my pizza, pay for it, and I go home. I eat the pizza. It's absolutely lousy in my mouth. It's a great pizza because my friend enjoyed it. Including my own chef. He just loved that pizza. I eat it, but in my mouth, it's sour. It's lousy. All night, I can't sleep. I'm tossing and turning because I just feel that emptiness of a prayer not being answered. Next morning, after a little bit of sleep or whatever, I wake up. The first thing I say, okay, I'll go back to that shop tonight. That day I'm busy in ministry. That night I go back. This time the shop is at the same time at about 12:30 midnight. And it's absolutely packed. So I go and I see that man. And the man recognizes me because of my good looks. Thank you, Jesus. He's still working on that one. Maybe tonight. You'll never know. So I have to tell, he recognizes me. He says, was something wrong with the pizza last night? I says, no, the pizza was nice. Now, I have to say, I says, but God spoke to me last night. He didn't speak here, he spoke here. He says, I have to pray for your wife, I told him. He calls his wife, she limps over again. I have to tell her the same thing. I say, God spoke to me last night to pray for you. I know why I came to your shop. I like to pray for you. So he says, some place of privacy, we go beside. It's not even behind. We go beside around the counter. And I ask the man's permission to touch the lady's feet because they're Indian. You see, that's why when God spoke to me, he says, you look like an Indian, you sound like an Indian, but you think like a Westerner. God has trained me in the eastern places so that I can minister to the east and to the west. And so, hallelujah. And so, I asked the man permission because if you touch his wife without his permission, it's called abuse in our culture. Then I asked the lady's permission, can I touch your feet? Because once again, it's an issue for traditional people anyway, the issue of abuse. So as soon as I touch her feet, God shows me in a picture form exactly where the problem is. So I pray for that thing, and then I ask her, I says, look, can you just move this like that? And she tries to do that. Can you just walk? And as she starts walking up and down, she's absolutely healed. It takes about 3 or 4 minutes, but she's absolutely healed as she exercises her faith. She's healed. And she said something like this, I've been praying out for the last 5 days for somebody. 5 days for somebody to come. For a man of God to come. And I thought, wow, how many other people said no? How many other people heard the voice of pizza, 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 instead of doing what I was good, what God had sent me there for, not for the pizza. The pizza was an excuse. The pizza was a bonus. What he sent me there was to release the anointing so that one of his children could get better, could get healed, could be established with freedom from pain. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. God is doing amazing things. And even now, I sense the Holy Spirit hovering over you, touching your point of need. Whatever your issue is. I was in Vietnam just April last year, so nearly a year ago. And that was my first trip to Vietnam. Vietnam is a communist country. They don't allow you to preach. I had to present my passport to the police, and they wanted my full itinerant so that they could track me anytime they want. And because I was only preaching within the four walls of a church, it was considered safe territory. Anyway, one of those preaching days, they told me, they said, tomorrow a pastor and his wife, they are both pastors, coming for you to pray for them. I said, no problem. So they come in the next day, and everybody's sitting here, and suddenly they come in. She had to be carried in, and the whole meeting stops. So they put her in the front seat. And then the husband and the wife says, can you pray for me now? And I says, I can, but I won't. I'm not trying to be unkind. Because as soon as they came in, God spoke to me. I heard his voice that this lady needed to hear what I was teaching that day. And I was teaching on forgiveness. I didn't know anything of a problem. All I know is 2 years ago, from that point, her body started being in pain and her body started shutting down. In the last 6 months, the husband even had to carry her to the toilets because the motor nerves, the muscles, will not work at all. Zero function. And so when she had to be carried in, 150 pastors just stopped and just watched. And now they're listening to this guy who's supposed to be a man of compassion say, I won't pray for you right now. She says, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm in pain. I says, I understand. I don't like pain. Pain's not my friend. Let me ask you a question. If you were to go to the hospital right now, would you be in pain? She said, yes. I says, if you were to go home right now, will you be in pain? She said, yes. I says, why don't sit down here and be in pain? And listen to this teaching. You see, sometimes we have to upset people to make them the right way up. Oh, come on now. You go to the dentist, don't you? You go to the dentist and you're panicking because you know there's some sort of a pain, something there. And anything here? No. And it's impossible to speak. Ah, 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 ah. Like parrots talking to each other. And so as he comes nearer, you're dreading it. Your toes already starting to wrinkle. Red patches are happening all over. Okay, I'm not supposed to say that, sorry. Okay, and then he touches that nerve. And then you go, poing! Well, that's exactly the situation. Sometimes we have to kind of hit the root in people's lives. And so God had spoken to me. So she said, okay, I'll stay here all day. Came up to my platform, came back to the platform, started teaching again. And within 2 minutes, I think I shared this story to some of you guys at Christ Church last year. Within 2 minutes, God spoke to me. He said, pray for her 3 times, and by the end of the day, she will be healed. So I stopped teaching. I go down in front of her, announce 150 pastors, 120, 150, something like that. And I say, sir, God told me to pray for you 3 times. After this first session, I'll pray for you once. After the second session in the afternoon, I'll pray for you a second time. Just before you go away, pray for you a third time. Prayed for it the first time. Nothing happened. She was made her stand up and walk and hold my hand kind of thing. And she was in absolute agony. Maybe about 10% of the pain left. Prayed for her a second time. She was still in agony, but about 50% of the pain left. Prayed for her a third time just before 5 o'clock. And she said it was 80% gone. So the pastor, the superintendent, asked me to come and take a video with her, get the full testimony and all that stuff, which I did. She rang up the superintendent of Vietnam. She said, before midnight, I was 100% healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God's on your case, you're a good lawyer there. You got a great helper there. Before midnight, according to the word of the Lord, she was absolutely healed. Amazing things was happening like that. A lady with some severe back problems and neck problems prayed for her. Bang, she falls down under the anointing. And she's wriggling about. I said, Lord, please heal her. Don't kill her, Lord. And she's wriggling around. 10 minutes later, she's getting up. And I'm panicking because, you know what? My credibility is at stake. I've taken 24 years to build up this. And I want to go back to Vietnam kind of thing. She wakes up, she's absolutely healed. I thought, wow, God. But we cannot see what's happening on the inside just because the outside's shaking away. And you might be just sitting here and your mind's got 1,000 questions. Hey, God's working on the inside of you. How are we doing for time? I've got a few things to say. Hallelujah. Did you have dessert? We got the second course coming up soon. There's a story in the Bible. It comes from Luke chapter 15. And it speaks about the father having two sons. And both one of the sons come and say, Dad, I want my inheritance. I want my share. Give it to me now. I'm out of here. And so the father gives the son, the younger son, his share of inheritance. He goes and spends it until he's bankrupt. Until he's got nothing left. Spends it on wild living. Spends it on this, that, and the next thing. One day, when he has nothing left, including his belly is completely empty, he goes and presents himself as a servant to pig farmers. Nothing wrong with pig farmers, except in his culture, the culture of that day, that's lowest than the low, so to speak. One day, as he's feeding the pigs, he's thinking to himself, he comes to a realization, even my father's servants have got more food than me. Even my father's servants are treated better than this. And so he makes a plan to go back to daddy, go back to Father. The Father is a picture of God. And you know, all that time that he was away, it wasn't that God was waiting for him, but God was waiting for him to come to the realization. The timing wasn't God's fault. The timing was for him, waiting for him to come back to the point of realization. Hey, I need to wake up to myself. Sometimes God's silent for a reason. You ever notice that? Oh, some of you, three of you. Sometimes God's silent for a reason. Here's a couple of reasons that I put down on paper this afternoon. Heaps of paper. I know I have notebooks all over the show, but the best comes in paper form because it's spontaneous. Why is God silent? Why is there a delay? Let me give you a few reasons that I found out in my life. Number one, he's preparing you. You know, if you are honest with me, your prayers and my own, God, please help me, bless me, tickle me, amuse me, help me. And did I say bless me, finance me, help me, my family? It's all about me. Come on now. Many times we tend to pray, Lord, me, and don't forget me. But in the meantime, God's preparing something which is much more important. Whether it's integrity, truth, credibility, whatever he's preparing, that preparation is the most important. Number two, he's preparing people around you. He's preparing people around you. He's preparing others so that when he brings you at the right time, he'll have the most powerful effect. You will have the most powerful effect. Your testimonies will be most powerful to all the people around. Number three, he's preparing the situations and the circumstances. Not people, but the situation itself. Number four, he's waiting for the best time, the most effective time, the most beneficial, so that when he comes, everything will flow. Jesus came at exactly the right time. Greek was the language spoken. It was a time of peace in that area. It was a time, an amazing time, when the trade routes and the roads were all on the right places, so that when the gospel, the shipping and everything else, Jesus came at just the right time. Why didn't he come 100 years sooner, 100 years later? Because God chose the best time. Sometimes God's waiting for faith from your mouth to come out. It's our faith that opens the door. It's the words we speak. Sometimes we're asking for things. Lord, please heal me. Lord, please heal. Lord, will you heal? Will you heal? Will you heal? If I do that in the healing line, it'll be a waste of time. Yes, Lord. Yes or no? 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 It's yes to everything. Sometimes it's longer, I don't know why, but as long as God's working, God's working. Sometimes it's not for us to say, yes or no, Lord, but just release the word. Because the word going in, the word going in, the word going in, at some point, that's going to fill up. Have you ever put a bucket under a leak? A tap leaking or something like that? Drip, drip, drip. You say, that bucket can take 5 gallons, so to speak. 5 liters, 5 gallons. And the next morning it's full. One drop at a time. One seed at a time. One word at a time. One act of obedience at a time. What happens if I didn't say yes the next day to that lady in Canada for the pizza story? God would have just taken that anointing off me for that assignment and put it on somebody else. It's the greatest privilege to be partners with God in His ministry. And it's your privilege and my privilege to come to God and say, thank you for choosing me. Last one, sometimes we just have to rebuke the enemy. And usually, it's not sometimes, usually that's all part of it. We've just got to rebuke the enemy. Because the enemy, listen to this, friends, finish very soon. That's a joke. Just in case you didn't recognize it. The enemy always wants to put blocks because he's trying to stop you from going to your next level of anointing. He's always trying to put a stop because you're not fighting the devils of that level. You're fighting the barriers of the next level. So he tries to stop you from moving to the next zone. The next level, so to speak. This boy comes back. He says, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. And the father says to this boy, his younger son, welcome home. Servants, take the best ring, the best robe, put slippers, equip him. Ring stands for authority, the robe of righteousness, the authority from the feet, standing in the gospel of peace. Peace with the Father, peace with heaven. It's a picture that he plays for us. And I believe with all my heart, this evening, as you've been listening, some of you, your heart's jumping, your heart's saying, I want this, but I'm too embarrassed. I want this, but I'm too shy. I've done it before, it hasn't worked before. Well, today is not before. Today is a new day. God has sent me here for a reason, and I know this next 17 days, I know it'll be amazing testimonies, because when I start speaking about God's goodness, about His salvation, His miracle happens. I was in Brisbane just a few weeks ago, Christmas, 2 days or 3 days before Christmas, and there are thunderstorms in that part of Brisbane, and we're rebuking those stuff, and only drizzles come down, and the wind kind of blows things over. In the next suburb is hailstones and stuff like that. Anyway, a few people give their hearts to the Lord with the outreach, and that's always good. And then we're doing it outside, and the pastor says, cool, the grass is a little bit damp, a little bit wet kind of thing. Call all the people who want healing to come on the platform. So the platform's pretty big. And so I call everybody on the platform, whoever wants healing. And I was amazed. God had given me a few words of knowledge. But every person with that ringing in the ears, what do you call that? Tinnitus or something like that? Tinnitus. Five of them got healed. Everybody who came in with pains and aches, and some of them I don't even know, got healed. One person, God restored them with the sense of smell. You see, every person who acted out their faith, who acted out of obedience, came to the platform. And you know, sometimes the Vietnamese people, which is what I was doing, sometimes they tend to be a little bit proud, you know, amongst themselves, because there's a stigma of being a Christian, you see. Only the poor people want to be Christians in Vietnam kind of thing. The richer people will not. And sometimes it happens in India and other places as well. There's a stigma there. And so everybody who came to that platform got healed. It's amazing. And God wants to do that tonight. Can you imagine tonight if every single person got healed, or one thing at least? You know, pain in the legs, pain in the bum, pain in the neck. No, I'm not speaking about the person next to you. I'm speaking to you. Hallelujah. Just let me promote this. I mean, I just got it shipped from Malaysia to here. And God spoke to me about a year ago. This book has been upon my heart for 4 years. Last January, he spoke to me again. January 2013, he spoke to me. This is the year you've got to write your book. Three days later, I'm in Indonesia. This pastor picks me up. I've never seen him before. We just got a mutual friend together. And after saying the formalities of, hi, how are you, and all that, he turns around to me. He says, where's your book? I said, what? He said, where's your book? God's telling me you've got to write this book. So I started this book project about 1 year ago. I've gone through 4 editors just because I felt that it has to be with the spirit of excellence. So it speaks about my testimony of how God saved me, and a little bit more detail of what I gave you. It speaks about 15 of the miracles that God has used me, very powerfully for. And as people read the book, I've just been having some feedback in the last few days. And as people read the book, they're getting healed, they're getting touched. The passion for Jesus is coming back to them. And I've spent 9,000 Australian dollars on this book. It's all my money. I haven't got any sponsors or anything like that. I'm hoping that this book will send me to become his voice box right throughout the world. That's my passion. That's what I want to do. So it speaks about those miracles. And then I pray for people in and through this book. And then I speak about purpose and destiny. You know, that's so important. We need to know why we're on earth for. And once you recognize this, to have the passion to do what God has called you to do. This is the only book that I could find in Koorong and Word and other book things in Australia where it's pure evangelism, that somebody will pick up the book and they'll find it hard to put it down. And so I want to encourage you, please, to buy that book, because you're also supporting missions. I've been a full gospel businessman member since Scotland, which is like 1989, which is 25, 24 years or something like that. And I speak with full gospel. I believe it's an extremely healthy and good vehicle to take people into the purposes of God. Because here we are without denomination. We are without any that comparison, you know, I'm better than you, that kind of thing. I love full gospel. And I want to encourage you, if you're not a member, don't become a spectator. This is not about sitting down and watching somebody else doing it. This is so that you can pick up something of the heartbeat of God and go and impact your world. Come on now, let's give Full Gospel a great hand. And Full Gospel means exactly that. Salvation, healing, deliverance. In fact, whatever you're missing, the God of Full Gospel wants to impart in you and make you complete so that you can function with His anointing in His glory, His way. Amen? Amen. I've got my greatest privilege right now is to introduce you to Jesus. There are a few of you. In fact, somebody's right now, you're having a pain in your heart. It's right here, in the middle over here. I can't see whether it's a murmuring, the missing of that heartbeat, or there's something irregular about your heart. There's somebody with a nasal passage. It's not just an ordinary blocked nose. It's something to do with your bone protruding into your nasal passage and giving you uneasiness of breath, I hear the Lord say. There's somebody else with neck pains. I see plenty of people with back pains. And in a crowd of this size, usually there's quite a few people with back pains. Usually, in a normal stats, it'll be about 30 to 40%. And I was just going to give you the call for salvation, but I want to tell you that there's somebody with your femur, your femur bone over here, and there's something wrong with those areas. I think it started with circulation, but there's something else right now, and it's like a calcified, like a scar tissue on top of the bones that's making the passage of the blood and nutrition awkward to reach the area it needs to reach at. Let me just, Lord, please continue with your anointing. I want to introduce you to Jesus. If you've never heard of Jesus before, or you don't have this connection with this living presence of God, here's your chance today. I'm going to ask you at the count of three, when I count three, for you to say, yes, Pastor Cool, or yes, Cool, will you please pray with me? Will you please help me to get this connection? Or some of you might say, will you help me reconnect? We call it a rededication moment, that moment I had when I had to walk through the crowd. I couldn't stand where I was standing. I had to come in and let my feet be the commitment. I had to come to the front and say, here I am. This is what I want. This is what I want to give my full heart to the Lord. Some of you need to be that. And later on, I'll pray for all those words of knowledge I had. In fact, there's somebody, your finger is jammed. What I mean is, it's stiff and it's not mobile. And God just gives me these words. Even as I minister, God will still keep on giving me these words. I was somewhere, I can't remember where I was, and I just gave out these words that two of your valves in your heart are not functioning. And so as I'm ministering, God shows me this picture. I just give out those words. And the very next person I came to, somebody pushed this girl from the second row back. Pushed this girl. They were all standing in the altar. Pushed this girl forward. I said, what can I do for you? She says, two valves in my heart are misplaced, not beating, not functioning, not giving that seal. I said, did you hear that word I gave 30 seconds ago? She said, yes. I said, that's you. She said, yes. Prayed for her. And then I told her to do all that kind of thing because she wanted to straighten her heart, just to test it out kind of thing. Absolutely healed. Because we've got to test it out. So I seen at least one person was limping today. Some other people been caught. Hooked. I seen some other people. I know spiritually you need to reprioritize your life. And that's important. But at the count of three, if you've never given your heart to the Lord before, I'm going to ask you to not be shy, not to be resistant, and just humble yourself and say, Pastor Cool, will you pray for me? Okay? At the count of three, I want you to put your hands up. One, two, three. Thank you so much. Sudesh. Is that right? I remembered well. Praise the Lord. Anybody else who's never given your heart before to the Lord and you say, yep, I want some help in making this connection with me. Is there anybody else? Hallelujah. Okay, here's the second. Well done. We're going to pray for you in a minute. The second one is this. If you want a reconnection, so to speak, it's just a reconnection. Say, Lord, I recommit myself to you today. Anybody else other than these six or seven wonderful people? Okay, why don't we all pray together so that we don't make our friends feel uncomfortable? We all pray this together. Thanks, Sudesh. We're going to pray. Everybody pray this. Dear Lord Jesus. Come on now. Dear Lord Jesus. Please forgive me of everything wrong that I have done. I believe you died on the cross to forgive me of my sin. I commit my life to you today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you for each and everyone who made that first-time commitment, who made that recommitment, and others who prayed this prayer for the first time. And even through that video, thank you that your word has touched them and your adoption has called them to be in and part of your family. Lord, bless each and every one of these people here and their families and their ministries and everybody watching on the video too. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give him a great hand. Hallelujah. 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 Here's what I like to do. When I ask you to come forward for prayer, this is what I like you to do. I like you not to look at me. I know I'm good looking. I've seen myself on a mirror today. It cracked. I want you to just... I want you to just open your hands out to the Lord as if you're receiving a present to meet your need. Whether it's healing, whether it's psychological, emotional, internal, for you, for your family, for your friends, for your finances, whatever it is, whatever answer you're looking for, believe that when I put my hands upon you, God's going to do something amazing. So, not only for those words of knowledge that I've given you, but for everything else that you need, that the Lord himself... And there's somebody here with recurring nightmares. In fact, there are three of you. The nightmares, the same dreams, the scary ones, the fearful ones. Fear has come. A spirit of fear has come into your lives. And that spirit pursues you to bring you to your downfall. But Jesus says, I come to intercept that spirit of fear. And he wants to come and rescue you today. He wants to come and lift you out from your flood, from your problem, from your situation. So I'm going to ask for each one to come forward for prayer, for anointing. There are others in the team who will pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's like when the Holy Spirit comes upon you with power so that he resides in you. He takes the habitation. He comes and lives with you. Your heart becomes his dwelling place, so to speak. And that's an extremely peaceful thing, where the peace of God comes into your heart. And that's for you. Is there anything else, Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's somebody else with blood disease. There's somebody else. I don't know what it is, but it's not your appendix, I can tell you that, but it's in your tummy area. It's deeper inside, in the midst of your bowels, so to speak, at the side, not in the center, but at the side of your stomach, in your bowels area. Thank you, Lord. and I see somebody's feet, F-E-E-T, feet, around your pivot and around your toes area. In fact, there's a second person having a problem with your heel, H-E-E-L. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And even if I haven't called out your word, but you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is here to heal and forgive, I want you to come forward and receive prayer from myself, from the team. I'm happy to pray for you. Brother, is there anything else you want to do before we, you know, we just have... Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you, we try to make some space. My promise is that we will not push you. That's my promise. I'm not into this pushing people. If you don't fall, I kick you. Simple. Hallelujah. So especially that first person, you know, that first person comes and usually people say, I'll wait to see. If they fall, then Pastor Cool has a real anointing. And so I'll say, hi, look at that spider. Everybody looks at that spider. I kick this person. They fall. You think I've got... Okay, then. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, in the grace of God, pretend as though this is a carpet area where it's the altar of God. And as you step into the altar of God, God's going to come and just change your life completely. So why don't you come forward? I want one more testimony. As you come forward for prayer, I want to tell you one testimony that happened in Melbourne last year. This person was in a wheelchair. Everybody was getting healed. Come to the middle person. She was in a wheelchair. Haven't walked for a long time. And so I says, I'm going to pray for you and God's going to do something amazing. She said, okay. I says, but when I pray for you, I'm going to ask you to pretend that this is not the hand of Cool, but this is the hand of Jesus. She says, okay. So I prayed for her. And I said, now I'm going to pull you out from that wheelchair. I want you to pretend, use your imagination, that this is not Cool's hand. Because if you trust Cool's hand, you'll get nothing except sweat. A bit of BO. And that's not too bad. But if you trust that it's the hand of Jesus, you picture in your mind it's the hand of Jesus, then Jesus will give you something great. Pull her out. I ask her, don't lean on me now, lean on Jesus. I asked her to lift up her feet like that. She was able to do it. I said, can you lift it up hard? I was holding her hands for balance. She was able to do it. I walked her up and down two or three times. I forget how many times now. Let her hand go. Ask her to walk up and down. She was able to do it. I said, march up and down the aisle. She was able to do it. Absolutely healed. There was a man with Parkinson's, two positions next to her. He was about 77 years old. I said the same thing to him. He's got Parkinson's disease. He's tremoring like that. He walks like this, 1 inch, like that. No joke. I prayed for him, said the same thing. Please pretend that this is the hand of Jesus. Use your imagination that this is Jesus' hands. I asked him after that, held his hands like that. I says, will you lift up your legs like this? And he did this with his hands. I said, excuse me. I said, will you just do what I do? Just follow me. Do this. And I'm holding his hands for balance. And he again does that. I say, okay, will you just lift up your legs as well? He's able to do that. And I ask him, I say, show me your hands. 80 to 90% of the tumoring had gone. And he was able to walk at first slowly. But then he was walking just like this lady walked. You and I got to participate with our imaginations. Because if you think only a man who comes and tells you two or three stories, then that's all you get. But you think the Lord of the universe has come and we are in his meeting to promote his kingdom, then we get all that he has established for us already. Amen? So thank you, Jesus. Why don't you come forward? Hallelujah. And if we can put some music on in the background, I don't need the music. It's just comforting. So we'll put the music. As you come and stand in this position, in this line, I'm going to ask you to just keep your eyes closed. I'm going to ask you to just present your problems to the Lord. And as the anointing thickens, then I will start praying for you. So Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your anointing right now. Will you come and saturate with your power and your glory right now? Saturate minds and hearts and bodies. We rebuke right now every enemy, every plan of the enemy in Jesus' name. And we cut those arrows of discomfort and disease in Jesus' name. And I release the anointing right now from the right side right to the left and from the front right to the back. I release your anointing right now in Jesus' name. I need some catchers, some ushers, please. Some of you who... And just watch. Just watch for the anointing of God, because this happens all the time. Don't worry. Don't be subtle. Some people may fall. Some people may not fall. But just sit down under the rest. Once I pray for you, I want you to sit down if you feel shaky. Because if you're standing up, sometimes you're fighting against the anointing. The Holy Spirit works strongest when you are relaxed. The Holy Spirit works strongest when you are completely at ease and relaxed. Thank you, Lord. So once again, come by the power of your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. The front row, will you take two big steps forward, please, so that you just got space, so that somebody can catch you from behind. Just take two big steps forward. That's great. You're doing great. And I want you to relax, and a couple of ushers, just follow me. The rest of you, just keep your eyes just closed and protect the privacy of the people next to you. Father, thank you for your fresh anointing right now. Every part of the body, every part of the body, I command this body. I rebuke its sickness, tendonitis, elbows, joints, arthritis. I break your power now in Jesus' name. Mind disease. I break your power right now. Let me just keep on ministering the word of God. The word itself has power to fulfill everything that it stands for. Inferiority complex, I break your power right now. And I put the self-esteem of God into you. I put the mind of Christ into you. Yeah, you can play the music. I'm good with that. Thank you, Jesus. Shakarabasi. Diabetics, I break your power to succeed. I speak to the spirit of diabetics right now. I break your power in Jesus' name. I speak for a new pancreas transferred into you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command that insulin level to come into norm. In Jesus' name. Hearing, I command new earlobes, new ear, middle ear, new eardrum in Jesus' name. Everything connected to the ear in Jesus' name. Sense of smell, I command it in Jesus' name. And everything else. Thank you, Jesus. Come deeper, I pray. Hallelujah. I'm just going to start praying for people. And then you can help me, some of you. I release the anointing. Oh, shoka. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Let me just hold your hands, please. Release in Jesus' name. Right now. Relax. I will not push, but I will. Fire. 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 Right now. Even more. Even more. Saturate, Lord, I pray. Saturate, I pray. Saturate, I pray. In Jesus' name. Whoosh. Even still on you, I can still see the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. even more. Jesus, thank you for fresh anointing. Just relax, don't worry, you're good. The strong anointing, just start receiving that anointing right now. Don't wait for me, right now. Right now. I'm going to ask you to put your hands on your hip. I seen you limping early on. I command that back to be healed now. And the hip joints to be synchronized, aligned. I release that healing right now from the top of the head, back of the neck, right through. In Jesus' name. Right through. Right through. Right through. In Jesus' name. Whew. I release. I release. Just relax and release. Yep, just relax more. Thank you. Once I pray for you, I just want you to relax. That's your duty. That's your job, to relax. Thank you. More. 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 God's healing right now. All the other stuff He can do at home. That forgiveness and all the other issues. Like a cobweb of stuff. And it's actually become like a conjunction, like a junction box. Full of, use a nasty word called pus. Let the God, disinfection. I'm speaking to everybody, not to the people I'm in front of. To everybody. It's become like a pus junction box. Could be unforgiveness, could be bitterness, could be anger. Just release the whole thing. But now, don't think about it. Now, just receive His grace. His grace means this, something you don't deserve, you get it. Go home and deal with all the other issues tonight. So don't worry about that. So I release grace. Holiness, receive now. Some more. Fill with your power. Fill, 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 fill. Just receive some more. Receive some more. Receive some more. If you're lying down, if you're standing up, just keep on receiving. Relax. Yeah. Relax. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you. Jesus. Even more. Somebody's getting their sense. Oh, sorry. Somebody getting their sense of smell back right now. I release that. I release that, the power of God for His glory. Jesus. God's put in you the spirit of Joshua. The spirit of Joshua. What others couldn't do and what Moses couldn't do, you're going to do because you carry the spirit of Joshua. From now on, put him number one, his priority. He's going to use you, you see, over the next 12 to 15 months in some amazing, amazing ways, including the gift of healing. Don't say, I'm not good enough, I'm not powerful enough. You and I aren't, but he is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just relax. Here we go. Thanks for His anointing, Lord. Even more. Thank you, Lord. Relax. I love the way God just saturates. He just saturates. Saturate. Saturate, saturate, saturate. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless with your power and with your grace. Special anointing, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Bless, Lord. Bless. Bless. Saturate. Thank you. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Come back to you. Even more. God's called you for an awesome ministry. It's an awesome ministry. I see Him going down deep like roots, and He's going to draw out from you, just like the lady drawed out fresh water to serve it to Jesus. You're going to have a tremendous ministry of serving Jesus and serving the love of God. Just like John chapter 4, that lady had the privilege to serve the Master. He's called you for that same privilege. Call from deep to serve Him under His power. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you for this miracle. Even right through the back, every scar tissue, every joint, every misalignment, I call it according to your word. Come into the blueprint of perfection now. Every pain, go. Every scar tissue, come off. Every swelling, every lump, be completely dissolved under your anointing. Right through that back. Right through that back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall I go this way first and then I come back? Okay. Yeah. Can I pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. I speak your anointing right now. Power of God upon Wayne. Pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my sister, Lord. Hallelujah. I see such a heart to serve the Lord. You actually got two hearts. The heart of Martha as well as the heart of Mary. And neither is wrong. Martha has to serve. Mary has to sit at the feet. And when they work together, it's like a bird flying in synchrony in right, right wing and left wing working together. So I bless the heart of God He's given you. I release your anointing. Can I pray for you now? All over? Jesus, right through. Thank you for your hand upon Brother John. Man of faith, a man of faithfulness. Thank you for your anointing. Right through every part. I induce right now your anointing. Overflowing, overflowing, overflowing. Coming back in Jesus' name. Thank you for your Majesty, touch. Touch with your power, God. Touch. Amazing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I bless. I thank you right now. Somebody's spine is being healed right now. And somebody else on your tailbone. Two different people. One is spine. One is your tailbone being healed right now. In Jesus' name. I release. So, saturate, Father. Saturate, 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 saturate. Why don't you come forward? There's plenty of space forward here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I release. Right now. Even more. Fill with your glory. Nothing less than your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even more. I call for more. Thank you, Lord. So, take some more.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, fill with your glory. Fill with your glory. Just enjoy His presence. Oh, Father, thank you. Yush, whoosh. Thank you, Lord. Bless, saturate. Saturate, saturate, saturate. Thank you, Jesus. Right through, right through. I call your miracles right now. Every part of that body. Every part of that body. Every part of that body. Every part in Jesus' name. More and more and more. More and more and more. More and more and more. Thank you, Jesus. Fill, fill. Saturate, Lord. Saturate, Lord. Saturate, Lord. Saturate for your glory, Lord. I bless. I bless. I bless. I bless. Yes. 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 Saturate. Thank you, Lord. Saturate. 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 Saturate.
Here's what I see. I see the Lord coming to you. And three times He's spoken to me. He says, you are the sleeping beauty. And He's coming as Prince Charming to wake you up into your new level of anointing. He's doing that because you're faithful, you're sincere, you're a lady of truthfulness. So He comes with His powerful holy kiss to kiss you and awaken you into a new destiny that you're going to touch thousands, 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 thousands. So I expand those boundaries and I break those migraines and all that things that stop you, those limitations, I break it off in Jesus' name and put you in the arms of Jesus. Hallelujah. Take some more. Fire, Lord. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Sure. No problem. How long has it been like that? Yes? Okay. Say, Lord Jesus, please heal me today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You don't pray now, I pray. In Jesus' name, I rebuke the source of this problem. I command it to get off that leg right now. To get off that leg right now. I break all fear. I break all intimidation. I break all doubt. And I release healing right now. That it starts working from this second on. So I release the power show of your glory. Your glory. Your glory. Your glory. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. I bless right now. Special anointing. The mind of Christ. Powerful. Powerful. Every confusion go. Every confusion and worry go. And I speak the mind of Christ. More. More. Saturate. More. True. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Just relax. Father, thank you for your special anointing right now. Deeper than any time before. I release soul. I release. Yeah. Oh, enjoy it. Don't worry. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it more, Lord. Here he comes with a new mantle of anointing upon your shoulders right now. Saturate, Lord. Bless you, sister. Jesus, bless my sister. Bless her. Fresh anointing right now. Saturate. 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 Fresh. 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 Just keep on waiting in his presence. I'm coming back to pray for you one more time. I see the fire of the old revivalists. I see it. I see that anointing upon you. Not one, not just the Smith Wigglesworth time zones. I speak and I see the fires of revival. Fires. Fires. I see thousands of islands being touched by the fire of God that he puts upon you. Thousands and thousands of islands. In some places you don't even go, but you send. And whoever you pray for, whoever goes under this anointing, carries your anointing. Form a team and send them out. Boats, ships, planes, whatever you do, send them out. I see a school. I see a school. A school of training. A school of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Training prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But not just theological. More of signs and wonders. The school of the Spirit. The school of signs and wonders. Don't worry, other people have done it. Don't think other people are saying to you, oh, you are copying the name. Just carry it, because you are a carrier of revival. Revival of the old days. The hearts of those old evangelists, they're looking down as this great cloud of witnesses spurring you on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You're in a better day. You're in a better season. You're in a better anointing. Run with fire. Run with fire. Run with fire. Run! In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for my brother. I see God calls you a hero. Hero of faith. Just like in Hebrews chapter 11. All those heroes, your name is written in the hero's name. I know your name's not written in Hebrews 11, but just like Hebrews 11, there is another chapter in heaven, and I see you, I see God calling you a hero of faith. Don't worry about the past. From now on, from today on, Valentine's Day, 14th of February, you'll never be the same again after today. Jesus, thank you for your favorite son. Release him with fire. Don't worry about those worries and this and that. It shall come to pass. The dreams, the inspirations that he's put upon you. Because you like the real stuff. You like the real McCoy. You're fed up with all these other things. You're fed up with all these, how do I be polite, all these other things, yeah. You want the real stuff, the real McCoy. And when you find the real McCoy, you'll run 1,000 miles for him. Well, the God of glory is here to meet you. He says, son, today I'm coming into your dreams. I'm going to mess up your life. He's going to mess up your life with only good things. Only good things. Thank you for my brother, Lord. Fire. Bless you. Is that hubby?
Yeah.
Is that hubby?
Fiance. Amen.
Sorry?
Fiance.
Not yet?
No.
Well, why don't you get saved today? Both of you same?
Yeah.
That's great. When he wakes up, I'll pray. Would you like to pray? Or would you like to wait for him? It's your decision. I know you do things together, but sometimes it's good to just pick up the torch and run first.
Yeah.
So, Jesus? You say Jesus?
I'm saved.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Anyway, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Fill me. With fresh anointing.
With fresh anointing.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. Thank you, Lord. Fill with your glory. Fill with your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Fire. Even more. Oh, yes. Even more. Way more. Way more. Way more. Way more. Amazing journey. Thank you, Lord. Bless my sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hear God says that He's going to give you the desires of your heart. So take it. In Jesus' name, Lord, I release it. I hear the word undiluted passion. Undiluted passion. Concentrated passion. I believe God wants to pour that into you. You're already passionate, but He wants to put concentration. I release. I release. Fresh fire. Fresh. 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 Fresh kerosene on your fire, Lord. Fresh. He says to you, I'll speak to you in the quiet of the night, where He'll come and speak to you. And you'll understand His voice, even though He speaks without a voice. He speaks from here. And you'll understand the interpretations of the heart He's given you. And you'll do great exploits. Thank you, Jesus. I bless. I bless. Even more, Lord. Even more, Lord. Even more, Lord. Saturate. Saturate, oh brothers. Saturate. Saturate. Oosh, I bless. I bless. Thank you, Lord. May I bring for you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I bless. I release. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Fill. So much more He's going to do in you. All good stuff. So, Lord, just release. Thank you, Lord. I bless. I bless. And I release. Thank you, Jesus. Way deeper, Lord. Your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory. Fill. Fill. Saturate again. Saturate, dearest. Thank you, Jesus. Saba. Sabaros. Sabarasos. Shakarabasi. Show. He just keeps pouring out. Pouring out. See a cycle of being thirsty, being filled, and being thirsty again because of your passion for Jesus. He says, I'll keep coming. I'll keep coming. I'll keep coming. I'll never disappoint you. Never keep you in lack. I'll keep coming. Time after time, wave after wave, anointing after anointing. I'll keep coming, He says. I'll keep coming. It's just like echoing in my heart. I keep coming. I keep coming. I keep coming. Because He's found a vessel to land on. So, Lord, I thank You. Bless. Oh. Thank You, Lord. Saturate. 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 I bless. Oosh. Right through. Right through the blood. Right through the blood. Show your glory. Show off your glory, Lord. I bless.
My angina.
Yes, sir. In Jesus' name, I call forth things which is not as though they are. So I call a perfect heart. I rebuke angina and every cause behind it. I speak balance into this body, right through that system. In Jesus' name, be healed now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.